Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Bois Cement Investor Presentation for full year 2019 and Q1 2020. Your speakers are Youssef Bindji, Managing Director and CEO, Arnold Sinsin, Group Operating Officer, and Chike Jaro, CFO. There will be a question and answer session at the end of today's presentation. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Youssef Bindji, and thank you for taking the time to be part of our maiden conference call for the enlarged Bois Cement PLC. Presenting with me on this call today are Mr. Finn Arnoldson, Group Chief Operating Officer, and Mr. Chike Jaro, the Acting Chief Financial Officer. I trust all of you are keeping safe during this period of the COVID-19 pandemic and observing all the preventive measures and protocols as advised by the health authorities. Over the next few minutes, I will share with you valuable insights covering Bois Cement's financial year 2019 and Q1 2020 operations. Thereafter, I will be very happy to take your questions. Before I go through the details, I would like to quickly showcase our value creation model in an environment that is characterized by low GDP per capita. If you will kindly turn to slide number six on the presentation that has already been distributed to you. Today, Africa, and indeed Nigeria, is experiencing rapid urban growth, with this trend set to continue into the foreseeable future. Ordinarily, the prospect of such levels of urbanization should result in higher GDP and inclusive growth. Yet, sadly, this has not been the case. With low-level GDP per capita limited resources, we are met with questions bordering on affordable housing, dilapidated and insufficient infrastructure, and dealing with the housing deficits, among others. The Nigerian cement consumption witnessed an upward surge of 7% in 2019, while the sub-Saharan African growth was 5%-6%. The cement consumption per capita in Nigeria last year was about 110 kg. The key point here to note is the likely future huge deficit in local manufacturing capacity, where Nigeria to reach the world average of 520 kg per person. This, in simple terms, means we will need to produce 100 million tons of cement as against the 23.5 million metric tons we did in 2019. For us, identifying and leading on some of these issues epitomizes our value offering, which seeks to create a product that is readily available, easily affordable, exhibits superior performance characteristics, while we continue to engage and educate the end users. These are aimed at not only reducing the housing deficit, but also helping to resolve some of the challenges and weaknesses faced by government institutions in terms of not only quality housing, but also quality infrastructure, thereby reducing certain vulnerabilities. Through a resurgent housing sector, we can create an environment that employs more people with an attendant multiplier effect on the Nigerian economy. Our growth trend over the years has been supported by our continued focus on governance, systems, processes, the contributions of our people, while not forgetting our resolve to ensure positive impact in host communities and the environment. Altogether, this have led to increasing market acceptance alongside profitability. It is noteworthy that early this year, we took this step to further strengthen our governance framework by working with a reputable consulting firm. If you will please turn to me to slide number seven. Here we present an overview of Bois Cement. Today, we are also the largest producer of cement within the South, Southeast, and Northwest regions of the country. We operate from two states in Nigeria, Edo and Sokoto, using best-in-class production facilities while attaining a capacity utilization rate of above 60% last year. We listed our company on the Nigerian Stock Exchange in early 2020 with an initial market capitalization of 1.2 trillion naira, becoming the third largest company on the exchange. In 2019, we sold 4.5 million tons of cement, the highest ever in our history, and representing 20% of the total market in Nigeria. Total cement market in Nigeria. Sustainability is pivotal to our operation and growth strategy. As a result, we ensure our footprint records minimal impact on the environment while opening up economic opportunities for communities and making positive impact in the societies. Furthermore, our sustainability initiative is guided by global standards, along with our sustainability governance framework, with our plants designed according to the most stringent environmental regulations and our particulate emissions well below international prescribed limits. In 2019, we achieved a 53.2% growth in cement dispatched, translating to a turnover of 175.52 billion naira, aided by a value-oriented approach as a critical enabler. If we move on to slide number 8, this is showcasing our evolution alongside achieved milestones pre- and post-merger, leading to our emergence as the third most capitalized company on the Nigerian Stock Exchange and our inclusion in the MSCI Frontier Index. As of today, our market capitalization has grown to 1.4 trillion naira, and we are still maintaining our third position. Turning to slide number 9, we highlight the strategic positioning of our operations in Nigeria. Currently, as I mentioned earlier, we operate from Okpela in Edo State and Kalambaina near Sokoto in Sokoto State, using 4 production plants with a total installed capacity of 8 million metric tons per annum. Furthermore, plans are underway to increase existing capacity by 3 million metric tons per annum, that is at the Sokoto site, resulting to a combined capacity of 11 million metric tons per annum by the first half of 2021. With the merger of Obu Cement and CCNN, we are not only well-placed to satisfy demand, but also able to showcase the value imbued in our product offering, which remains the hallmark of our brand. If you will turn with me to slide number 10, this is an overview of the macro environment in 2019 and its impact on the housing and construction sectors. These are the key sectors to our business. In 2019, Brent crude was up 22.7% from $53.8 per barrel as at December 2018 to $66 per barrel as at December 2019 as a result of OPEC production cuts and increased shocks, particularly in the Middle East. GDP expanded by 2.27% as against 1.191% in 2018. Supported by increased contribution from the oil sector, while the naira appreciated marginally by 0.5% against the dollar to 362 naira 84 kobo to a dollar, which arose from stable economic environment. On the activity front, real estate activities continue to falter, although the construction segment remained resilient, supported by the government's increasing focus on infrastructure development and modernization. If we move on to slide number 12, we will show you the financial highlights of our 2019 operations. We show the impact of our value-driven strategy on growing market acceptance and the solid performance delivery during that year. Against this background, cement dispatch increased by 55% to 4.5 million tons from 2.9 million tons we did in 2018, leading to an increased market share, which was up 7% points to approximately 20%. Sales revenue was up 47.5% year on year from 119.01 billion naira in 2018 to 175.52 billion naira in 2019. Operating profit EBIT rose 67% to 71.4 billion naira, with EBIT margin at 41% as at 2018, that was 36%, though EBITDA margins recorded flat trend at approximately 47% in 2019 due to increased push to new markets. I will speak more on this in the next two slides. Net finance costs increased from 3.7 billion in 2018 to 5.2 billion in 2019, a result of increased bank borrowings to support our expansion and working capital requirements. Profit before tax was 69% to 66.2 billion naira, whereas profit after tax declined 5% due to the deferred tax credit recognized in 2018. Notably, approval for the extension of pioneer status on our Obu Line 1 and Kalambaina Line 2 plant was granted in February 2020 for 2 and 3 years respectively. This will offer tax shield over the next couple of years. Moving our attention to leverage and cash flow, net debt increased from 1.1 billion in 2018 to 5.8 billion naira, necessitated by capacity expansion as earlier highlighted. But without sounding equivocal, our leverage position using the equity multiplier ratio declined from 1.58 in 2018 to 1.29 due to increased shareholders' fund balance. Clearly, this alongside the increased tax burden had an impact on reported return on equity despite improving 16.7% to 17.7% year on year. We are optimistic that we can further improve the return on investment in 2020. On free cash flow, we recorded a revision from negative 5.4 billion in 2018 to 3.2 billion in 2019, arising from increased cash flow operations. We now move on to slide 13, and we give you the composition of EBITDA, which increased by 47.2% year-on-year to 82 billion naira. Drivers for the movement include gross profit, which increased by 22.5 billion from increased activity. Selling, distribution, and administration costs rose 33.3% or 3.373 billion naira from an enlarged entity, and depreciation charges rose 113.8% or 7.52 billion naira as a result of capitalization of Obu Line 2. In spite of the challenging economic environment, slide 14, if you will turn to that page, highlights how our disciplined approach has ensured EBITDA margins remains resilient at approximately 47%, though EBITDA per ton recorded a 731 naira decline per ton. Undoubtedly, our task going forward is to sustain margins at these levels, and we believe this is achievable. Turning to slide 15, we highlight the cost components of our operations. Cost of sales per ton increased 2.9% due to increased output activity. However, we continue to keep firm lead on production costs. Similarly, we recorded an increase in energy cost due to higher gas pricing and energy mix during the year. Expectedly, our distribution cost rose by 27.2% to 2,631 naira per ton during the period, in line with our strategic focus of increasing footholds in existing markets whilst moving into new markets. We will continue to invest in our distribution strategy in 2020. If we now move on to slide 16, what we have shown here is the evolution of the reported net debt between 2018 and 2019. As at 2019, we reported a net debt balance of 5.8 billion naira. This is against 1.2 billion for 2018 due to increased borrowings to finance our current capacity expansion at our Kalambaina plant in Sokoto State and working capital requirements. On the whole, net cash flow from operations rose from 69.0% to 26.5 billion naira compared to 15.7 billion naira in 2018. Earlier, I mentioned how sustainability drove our activities. Slide 17 shows some of the activities we embarked on, particularly with the host communities, and we can elaborate on that later on during the Q&A. COVID-19 impact and first quarter 2020 performance. The release of the full year 2019 results coincided with the Q1 2020 result, and so we felt it is pertinent to also run over the performance, particularly in the wake of the COVID-19 outbreak. The macro environment, which seemed primed for an upward trajectory from the signing of the landmark trade agreement between the U.S. and China, was punctuated by continued geopolitical tensions and the outbreak of the coronavirus. Admittedly, the outbreak of the coronavirus pandemic at the turn of the year continues to ravage economies, even as governments instituted measures aimed at slowing the spread whilst expanding testing capacity in the wake of rising number of infected persons. In response to the COVID-19 outbreak, we implemented our COVID business continuity program. This is instituted in our corporate governance framework, aimed at minimizing possible disruptions across the value chain, prioritizing the safety of our staff, visitors, and customers, while conducting scenario planning to measure probable impacts in the event of a prolonged lockdown. A summary of our activities can be found on slide 18. Turning to slide 19, the domestic economy expanded 1.7% in Q1 2020 year-on-year, although slower than the 2.1% reported in the first quarter of 2019, and supported by increased oil sector contribution. Oil price during the quarter declined 66% to $22.74 per barrel from an oversupplied market warped by the coronavirus outbreak with ramifications for the exchange rate, which fell 6.26% to 385.55 naira to a dollar at the INE window. The construction sector continues to remain the harbinger for growth, expanding by 1.69% in the first quarter of 2020, with the real estate sector further contracting in Q1 2020 by 4.75%. Slide 20 showcases continued growth in cement sales, which increased by 20% to 1,328,000 tons. This translates to a 25.1% increase in sales revenue to 64 billion naira. EBITDA margin was down 3.3% points to 45.6% in view of our continued push to new markets, along with an increased depreciation charge for Obu Line 2. A similar trend was recorded with EBIT margin, which was down 3.2 percentage points. Net finance cost increased by 11.6% year-on-year by 88.9 million naira to finance working capital and capital expenditure requirements, with net debt at 10.6 billion naira as at Q1 2020. Again, the size of leverage continues to trend downwards. We reported a negative free cash flow balance in Q1 2020, which was largely due to payment for supplies and parts. However, our cash position for the period closed at 17.7 billion naira from 15.6 billion naira as of December 2019. Turning over to slide number 21, we show the evolution of EBITDA for the quarter. Gross profit was up by 16.3% arising from increased production volumes, selling, distribution, and administrative costs. Net of other income increased by 0.62 billion naira due to continued investments in our route to market strategy, while depreciation increased by 0.71 billion naira from Obu Line 2 charge. Altogether, EBITDA balance for the quarter rose from 21.10 billion in the first quarter of 2019 to 24.63 billion naira as at the first quarter of 2020. Amid the strained economic environment, our results symbolizes a resilient performance, which we highlight on slide 22. Despite the decline in EBITDA margin by three percentage points to 45.6% for the quarter, we believe the numbers are decent, even as we look at strengthening certain aspects of our value chain, along with other synergy gains. Equally, EBITDA per ton declined by 3%. Turning to slide number 23, we provide insights to our cost drivers during the quarter. Cost of sales increased by 11% to 22,188 naira per ton, resulting from changes to energy mix and the rising cost of some raw materials. Energy cost per ton rose by 2.6% or 245 naira per ton, arising from increased production volumes, higher gas prices, and changes to energy mix. Distribution costs recorded a marginal increase as we crossed through new markets. The marginal increase was led by a reduction in marketing spending for the quarter. Year on year, distribution cost was up 0.4% to 2,538 naira per ton. Slide 25 showcases our strategic priorities in 2020, and undoubtedly, they are all very important because of the role each plays in value delivery to customers, community, shareholders, and economic development in general. If you will permit me, I will touch on the gains made in the area of expansion. We had previously announced the expansion of our Sokoto plant by the third production line, which is scheduled for completion by the first half of 2020. This will add another 3 million metric tons to our capacity, bringing total capacity of Boa Cement to 11 million metric tons. In conclusion, as we look ahead, we remain upbeat as we continue to showcase the strength of our value and service offering. This concludes the performance review. I will now request for the lines to be opened so that we can take your questions. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you. We will now open the lines for questions. To ask a question, please press zero on your phone's keypad. That's zero to ask a question and seven to cancel your question request. Once again, to ask a question, please press zero on your phone's keypads or seven to cancel your request. Thank you. Your first question is from Babatunde Ogunleye. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the call. So I just want to have a much more sense of your pricing. So, for instance, now coming into Q1, kind of feel like evolution of pricing, how the industry has been in terms of changes in prices. Just to have more sense, I wanted to know in terms of like your pricing in terms of dollar per ton, even if it is naira per ton, compared to like the overall industry level. Would you have said that you are above or in line with the industry level? And if so, like, can we just have a sense as to what is the amount in naira terms or probably in dollar terms? Very with anyone you want. So on the second question is relating to if you are having like I understand the fact that you kind of add additional line, it kind of increase your overall like installed capacity. So you are coming up, we are also coming up with additional 3 million tons. So I'm just trying to sense it, that if your utilization rate is above 60%, as you have presented in the presentation, and they are coming up with additional 3 million tons of additional 3 million tons coming in 2021. What can we just have a sense as to, like, just to further have a sense, can we have a sense to as to what plant, probably maybe there's a particular plant that is producing below the full capacity that is probably necessary for this new additional capacity that is coming up on stream? Because my thought is that if there is an additional capacity, there's like almost like 40% capacity on it to life. So as against like adding more additional capacity, why not just look for a means of which further grow the capacity that is left. So also if you can just give a sense of utilization rate probably in the Obu cement plant and also in the Calabina plant too as well. So on the third part is the CAPEX breakdown. So you are having like additional 3 million tons coming on stream in 2021. Can we just have a sense as to like what rate currently is your maintenance CAPEX and also your incremental CAPEX going to help our guide, and this is going to help analyze guidance, and also in terms of your borrowing cost, kind of notice that you kind of use an overdraft and short-term borrowing. So for the, I'm looking at it in terms of the overall interest rate environment, we are kind of in a low interest rate environment, so I feel that you take advantage of. So I'm just asking, like, is there any restriction or limit, or like limiting in terms of taking a long-term debt, probably the covenant in place or something? So I'm just kind of looking at it in terms of, because looking at it in 2019, it was your overall, your average interest rate was between 18.5 to 19%, and coming to Q1, it was 10 to 14%. So if you can just have a sense of it, is this something that you are looking at raising a long-term debt or something? And then which brings me to my second to the last question, which is in terms of your holding structure. So currently, when I looked at the holding structure, the majority of the structure was around 96.29%, if I'm wrong. So which kind of give minority like a 3.71%. Like, what are you doing? Because like when you look at the NSC minimum listing rules, like it's kind of a breach on the NSC 80-20 rule. And also if we are going to kind of because I kind of get the fair that I kind of get the understanding that you're going to list on the premium board. Is it kind of this on the premium board? Is this, are you still going to be holding this like significant? Is the majority shares are still going to be holding like this kind of significant chunk? Which brings me to my final question. So I kind of noticed that there is a section in your other income that speaks to village income on food delivery. So I'm kind of having a sense of this, that is other income on village. I don't have a proper understanding of it. If you can throw more light on the village income on food delivery, because what I'm having is that instead of using this, can't we just use this, instead of receiving other income from this village kind of thing, can't we just, is this not something that can be used for the company's own purpose, be able to reduce the overall distribution cost, even what is in the distribution cost per ton? And then the final question is, has to speak with the intercom, due to and from intercom related activities. So I noticed that there's been a trend, and then kind of sometimes it's kind of coming up compared to 2018, it kind of came down in 2019. And then coming into 2019, kind of see that it was 16.7 billion in FY 2019. And then coming to Q1 2020, it was 27.5 billion. Like, kind of discrepancy, like, to what extent, like, where are you willing to draw the line between the intercompany related activities? That's it for my question. Thank you.
Okay, can I go ahead and answer?
Yes, please.
Okay, thank you very much for these questions. I'm not sure I got all of them, but I will try my best to respond to the ones that I understood. Regarding our pricing, we have a segmented pricing structure that we apply all over Nigeria. The prices are not really the same. You know, they move up and down depending on the season and the locations and the amounts of discounts that we give and the amounts of our payments made by customers and the lifting bonuses. So it's really a very complex structure. We'll be very happy to explain this to on a one-on-one basis, how the pricing structure it is as it affects the other regions. Regarding your second question, for our additional line 3 million metric tons in Sokoto, while we have a 60% capacity utilization. Let me explain the 60% capacity utilization we mentioned. This 60% is an average of our total production over the total installed capacity. If you notice in the slide, we mentioned the Obu Line 2 actually came into operation during the second quarter of 2019. So it didn't have the benefit of the full operational line of the full year. In addition, our line 1 in Sokoto did not operate all the time because of challenges of sourcing LPF. So this actually dragged the capacity utilization of the individual production line. If you take, for example, our line number 1 in Obu, it operated more than 80% together with line number 2. And Sokoto also, I think, because of the seasonal effect, if you recall last year, Sokoto is doing about a substantial percentage of exports, and the borders were closed, and we lost that additional opportunity, and it affected us for about 2 to 3 months before we were able to sell in other regions. And like I said, line 1 operating on LPFO was mostly closed for more than 9 months. So this dragged the capacity utilization down. But when you are investing in additional capacity, you are not doing that based on today. It takes about 3 to 4 years to set up a new cement plant. And by then, expectedly, the demand consumption in Nigeria will have gone up. Somebody has got to be ready to fill in the gap. If you look from 2003, when the government of former President Olusegun Obasanjo started the backward integration policy, at that time, the cement in Nigeria was supplied, was more of imports than of local capacity. And this backward integration policy was meant to encourage the importers to invest in Nigeria and boost local production. And there were periods in which year on year, cement consumption was going up at an average of 15%, sometimes 10% year on year. In 2016 and 2017, when we had a bit of a recession, the cement consumption remained flat. But we saw that in 2018, it went up by 12%, and in 2019, it went up by a further 7%. 2020, we don't know how much is going to go up, but if this trend in demand continues, there must be sufficient local capacity to bridge the supply gap. So that is why we are investing. We are looking for opportunities, and wherever there are opportunities, we are going to really unlock them. The CAPEX for this is a combination, and it's ongoing. It's an ongoing project. I will not be able to put a number on it because so many things are in the pipeline. Regarding to your fourth question, I didn't get it clearly, but I thought you are talking of the coronavirus pandemic. This is something that came unexpectedly and towards the end of the first quarter. Of course, it has some disruptions, and during the Q2, I think also we are going to have much more impact than the Q1. When the results are presented, we'll see that. But for us, we have given on the various slides in our presentations the measures we have taken to really mitigate big impacts on this. The key thing is that we are very resilient, and we have the ability to adapt easily. We are not expecting significant impacts on our performance. We are still also looking at issues of listing, whether we go to the premium board or other things. That is being considered by the board. I would like to say something on your last question on the intercompany related transactions. I need to explain this so that people understand fully what we mean. Related party transactions and balances relates to movement of funds between Boa Cement PLC and other companies where Alhaj Abdul Samad Rabiu have controlling interest. The balances represent net amount due to or due from Boa Cement for funds that are obtained from the company's accounts but used in related companies, or amounts that were obtained from related companies but used in financing Boa Cement's operations. There are so many common services where Boa Cement derives a lot of benefits by latching onto the Boa Group, for example, in foreign procurement, amidst the scarcity of foreign currency, and also the long time it takes to open letters of credit. So we latch onto this with the Boa Purchasing Office, located outside the country, to fast track the purchase of spare parts for our cement plant operations. So this is where the intercompany balances come in. But I would also like Mr. Chike, the acting CFO, to say a little bit on this. Also the EBIT income. I didn't get that question clearly, but I hope you have gotten it. Chike, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Afternoon. On the other income, it represents haulage that we're doing through a third party. Based on IFRS 15, the sale of cement and the delivery of cement to the customer is treated as the same performing obligation. So before now, especially in the Obu plant, where we engage a third party to do our haulage, we recognize the deposits that are made by customers to that third party as other income. And at the same time, we expense the money that is paid to the third party through our distribution and the selling and distribution expenses. Then on the related party issues, as my MD rightly said, we have a relationship with the group, Boa Group. The increase in the first quarter came as a result of payments that were made in respect of our Sokoto Line 3 that have not been satisfied. By the second quarter of this year, we received some satisfaction, which we moved from due from related party to sweep. So by the time we are releasing our second quarter 2020, you will see a significant drop and movement that will be represented by certified work at our Sokoto Line 3. Then on the short-term borrowing, is presently being restructured. So we are looking at a longer repayment terms of 3 to 7 years, knowing that we have a project at hand. So there is no way we can sustain the financing of the project from internally generated fund and short-term fund. So by second quarter, we have already secured some approval, and the loans are being restructured into a longer repayment period at a lower cost too. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you, Chike. I think we can move on to the next question.
Thank you. Your next question is from Ibovi Wally. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you very much for the call. Great presentation and provided a lot of insight. So I think the question that is very pertinent for me right now is basically around the risk outlook for your OBU operations. Putting some context around what is going on currently with Dangote. So there has been this legal tit for tat, and we saw it in newspapers today. Dangote put out a statement regarding mining lease, and you also put out a statement. So would you like to give the investing public, color around what is happening and what could be the potential, risk for your operations in Obu? How much impact could it have for you if it is proven or a competent court, shows that your licenses, the mining licenses are expired, as have been quoted by your competitor. I was going to ask about the constituent of your related party, but I think that's fine. So the second question for me will be, you know, so was there any transaction relating to your share premium? Because, you know, if you do a listing, if you do a calculation by the listing, your share premium could have been as much as $1 trillion. So was there any transaction, because it's not reflected in your detailed financials, you know, and how that played out, you know, just for color for investors, basically. And do you see growth slowing down? Because, for instance, we're looking at timing of your uptime for your capacity. So the plant came on in Q2 2019, which obviously affected the strong growth that we saw in Q1 2020. So do we see that, you know, slowing down to where other industry players are because of flattening of that growth curve from your additional capacity? And what are your other initiatives and your exports, particularly the Port Harcourt, you know, plant? So that would be it basically for me. Thank you.
Mr. Wale, thank you very much. I think your first question regards the operations of the Obu Quarry, and I think Boa Group made a publication in the newspapers, which is self-explanatory, but you have referred to another publication by Dangote Group regarding an appeal. So what I will say is that since there is an appeal, this matter is sub judice. It is under judicial consideration and therefore prohibited from public discussions elsewhere. Regarding our licenses, we have so many licenses that we are operating in Obu. We have sufficient limestone reserves to sustain the operations of our two production lines up to the end of their lifespan. You know, Nigeria is naturally endowed with a lot of limestone. And wherever you go and set up a cement plant, you must have acquired substantial reserves that will justify a good return on investment. And cement plants are built sometimes to last 25, 30, 35, 40 years. Even in Nigeria, we have our Sokoto line one that has been in operation since 1968, over 50 years. So we have sufficient reserves to, even without the Obu Quarry, to sustain the operations of our two production lines in Obu. Thank you.
Yeah, he made mention of a share premium. The share premium came about from CCNN and Calambina, a CCNN acquisition of Calambina in 2018. So the net assets of Calambina that was acquired and the shares that were exchanged for the acquisition of the net asset of Calambina gave rise to the share premium, which is recognized in our financial as a reorganization reserve. So that's where the share premium is coming about. It's not between Obusment and the CCNN merger, but between CCNN and Calambina merger that took place in 2018.
Thank you. Your next question is from Bolu. Sir, please go ahead. Thank you. Your next question is from Bolahon Olugoro. Please go ahead. Hello, Bolahon, your lines are muted. Please ask your question. Thank you. Thank you. Your next question is from Khalil Woolley. Please go ahead. Can you speak up, please, Khalil? Thank you.
I'm sorry. Could you hear me better now?
Yes, that's better.
We can hear you now, Mr. Khalil. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. From the presentation, you mentioned there were some LPFO challenges you faced, I think I'm from Sokoto Land. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to ask, are there any plans currently in place so as to de-risk the plans from future challenges? And secondly, as you all know, LPFO is way more expensive compared to other energy sources such as gas and coal. So is the company looking at exploring these options going forward? Secondly, is that I just wanted to ask about the impact of this recent FX devaluation on the company's operations in terms of expenses. If you could just get a color on the percentage of expenses that are linked to foreign exchange. Thirdly, is just like, you know, get more color on other market opportunities that are out there. From the presentation, you mentioned that this recent closure of land borders are somewhat limited market opportunities, and is the company looking in other lights to at least retain some of its market share, both here and also exports. Thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you, Mr. Kamil Wale, for a heavily loaded question. I will answer the first one. Mr. Chike will answer the one on the depreciation and the devaluation. And we will bring in Mr. Finn Arnoldson, if he's still with us, to talk about
the market. I'm still here.
So I will start. Yeah. Excellent. So I will bring in I will discuss on the LPFO. You know, Sokoto is located in the northwest part of Nigeria. All of you are very much aware of that, and you are also very much aware that there is no gas pipeline running up to Sokoto. So most of the cement plants operating in the core north have to rely on LPFO, which before used to be a very cheap industrial fuel. And these plants were operating very well. But I think lately, due to the shutdown of the refineries in Kaduna and Warri, and sometime in Port Harcourt, you know, we have not been able to get this LPFO for the last 1 year. So we have resorted to importing very expensive LPFO, and indeed even AGO, to sustain the operations of Line 1 and also our generators. The Line 2 that we commissioned in 2018, the one we call Kalambayan Line 2, we redesigned it so that it will run on coal. And you know, coal is a very cheap source of energy. At the moment, that production line is running 100% on coal, which is a combination of local coal with very high volatility and some quantity of imported coal with low volatility in order to mitigate the safety risks that are there. We do not intend to really abandon the Line 1, but we are also looking at ways in which we can reduce the cost of production. And don't forget, we also mentioned that Line 3 is going to come on stream in Sokoto by the first half of 2021. And that line has been designed to run on liquefied natural gas, which is a bit cheaper than LPFO, more readily available. We have entered into a contract with a reputable company to supply the required quantities of LNG all the way from Port Harcourt to Sokoto. We have commenced the building of a regasification plant because this is a liquid form, so we have to regasify it and then use it in our furnace decal. So that will ensure more reliability. We are also in the process of converting the Kalambayan line to use LNG also. And at the same time, we have ordered 50 megawatts power plant generators that are going to run entirely on LNG. These generators are just about to be shipped, and they should be operational before the end of the year. So overall, as you know, energy is the biggest cost in cement production. So we have taken all the necessary measures that by next year, Sokoto will no longer be relying on expensive and scarce LPFO or AGO. Mr. Chike, can you take the issue on the devaluation, and then Mr. Kim will talk about the markets after the border closure last year and what we are doing inwards. Chike?
Yes, on the devaluation, we have minimal raw materials that have important components that we are using in our operation. So it's mostly importation of spares and few raw materials that we are using that will be affected by the devaluation. The major raw material is mostly gas, based on the devaluation of the official rates from 306 to 360. We witnessed 16% increase in gas cost. The rising cost is only associated with the economy and is not peculiar to us. So we continually strive to maintain our margin through other cost savings and the price adjustment that the industry will witness. So I'm not too sure it will have significant impact based on the level of raw material that is imported then and the other cost measures that we will take to make sure that the impact is minimized.
Okay, Mr. Finn, can you talk briefly on the market?
Yeah, I will. Good afternoon. I will touch just briefly on the and quick comments, you know, on the Nigerian market and in particular what happened with the border closing and how we are compensating for these volumes normally moving into Niger. First of all, quickly, you know, when you see the market today in Nigeria, taking into consideration all these external threats and issues, we see actually not so much reactions in general. And we also have seen this earlier, that the market somehow remain robust. Still, if you have a lot of factors, generally should have impact on the consumption of cement. The reason might be here that you already have a pretty low consumption per capita. And that means most likely it's already absorbed a lot of uncertainties. So if you have issues like low oil price, COVID-19, and other issues, it doesn't have that immediate impact. Longer term, it will have for sure. But as we see it now, we still are positive. We still see a growth during Q1. We have no export these days out from Nigeria. You know, the whole country is insulated in terms of export of cement. We hope this will be resolved pretty quickly. For us, our export to Niger is then happening from our Sokoto plant, and it's roughly around 20% of our production was actually target for the nearby market into Niger. Middle of last year, it stopped due to the border closing. And of course, then we have to reactivate really and intensify our market and to push into new areas in the country. This is only applicable for Sokoto. From Ubu, we don't do any export through the northern border. So we strengthen our marketing efforts, and the volumes actually lost into Niger, which was quite sizable. We pushed partly into the central north, you know, to the Kano axis, and also into the northeast. So we embarked immediately on a push strategy and actually managed to compensate for the loss of the export. So in terms of the volumes, we are quite okay with that. So with our very strong and, I would say, aggressive marketing efforts, we managed to compensate. And this is actually of a strategy we are now doing after the merger. We are consolidating our marketing departments, and we want to have a push strategy into new locations where we not have been before. Concerning the export, we hope that we can resolve this pretty quickly. It's also dialogues going on. So a very natural market, as you said, for our business from Sokoto is Niger, and it could also be into Burkina Faso and the Republic of Benin at a later stage. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Finn. Can we go on to the next question?
Thank you. Your next question is from Abdulraif Bello. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Well done for the presentation. Okay, so my question is about the market share of Bua Cement. I just want to have a bit of insight around the regions where the company is very strong in. So north, east, west, and south, just an insight on that. And there's a part I saw, so I just want a bit of clarification around that. So I saw a part where 10% of the company's revenue, you know, a particular entity or some sort of concentration risk where 10% of the company's revenue is accounted for by just a few number of, you know, entities. I just want a clarification around that, and if that sounds to be a concentration risk and what the company is doing as regards to, you know, mitigating issues such as concentration risk. Then my other question is about the guide on capital expenditure. So what's the plan for the year, and what do we expect to see in subsequent years? Okay, so earlier during the presentation, the management spoke on 60% capacity utilization average across board, and quite understandable. So say in 2020, 2021, and maybe in the near to midterm. So what is the capacity utilization that we should expect to see? And then lastly, it's about the transportation and haulage. So I'd really appreciate if the management could, you know, give a bit of explanation around how transportation and haulage is done within the company. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I missed out on some of the questions. Maybe I will have to ask you to repeat the first two. I just got one on capacity utilization and the transportation. If that is Mr. Bello,
can I
get your first questions? Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Mr. Finn.
It was about the market share, huh?
Yeah, okay. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead and answer.
Yeah, I can. Good afternoon again. Yeah, about the market share. You know, the two plants. There are one in the north, one in the south, and they are very much complementary. So what we are trying now is to optimize the markets, the natural markets from each of them. And if you look into Sokoto, in the northwest corner of the country, we are through the Sokoto operation. We are covering roughly 90% of the market in all the states, coming from Zamfara, Kebbi, Sokoto, which we define as our home market. So there we are almost, that is over more or less monopoly market, around 90% market share. Then we are we have lesser market share, that's in the central north, around Kano. Kano is a huge, it's a very big market. So our real stronghold is up what we define as the home market down there, but we are also participating in the Kano area, Kano, Niger, Niger states, and also down to Abuja. But our real market dominance is around the factory because we don't have any real competitor nearby there. That is our advantage. For the Uber plant, which of course in volumes is much, much bigger, there is the same. We are a market leader in our home market, which is Edo State, partly into Kogi, and partly into the south-south as Delta and so on. So we are then trying to move southeast, and we are also trying now to define a strategy, and we have already started to go into the southwest. As you know, the consumption pattern in Nigeria is that, 70% of all the cement is going from Abuja south. So that means when you are a big producer with the big volumes, you need to go into the big areas, which is the southwest and also the southeast. North, total market in the north is around 5 million to 6 million tons, but the remaining 17, 18 is coming from the axis from, let's say, the Ogun state to the Cameroon border. Our dynamic marketing strategy will be now to try to penetrate much more into areas which is a little bit more traditional over competitors because our volumes are growing. That is the only way for us to have a push strategy into these areas as well. Our market share, we are around 20%, so we are targeting, of course, to grow this as much as we can through this push strategy as we have launched. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Finn. I will just talk briefly on the capacity utilization regarding, you know, the OBU plant. This is why we have the two most modern plants in our stable. The capacity utilization there is roughly around 80%. This is higher than the capacity utilization of other cement plants in Nigeria. The Sokoto Kalambaina Line 2 is also averaging around 75%. The Line 1 using LPFO, you know, the operations were affected by lack of LPFO, and so last year the capacity utilization was very low, and that was what dragged our overall capacity utilization. But if you look at the cement industry in Nigeria, if you look at the published figures, you'll see that the capacity utilization is just around 50%. So we are doing better than the other producers in terms of capacity utilization. But it's because of the higher capacity utilization that we are investing in building new plants, because you cannot push your existing plants to 100%. It's not like you go full speed on Mach 1 on a commercial aeroplane. You know, you always leave some margin there. Regarding the transport policy, at the moment, from our OBU plant, we do what we call company delivery. That means the customer pays money, including transportation, to any part of Nigeria, and we deliver with our own company trucks. So we have a fleet that is dedicated to this. Some customers prefer to do self-collection, so we give them a price net of the transportation cost. And once they pay and they are ready to collect, we schedule them and they bring in their own trucks, whether owned by them or hired, and they transport the cement to wherever they want to. It's the same thing also we do operate in Sokoto, even though the percentages of company delivery versus self-collection do vary between the two plants. So there are opportunities for third-party contractors to actually latch in also and benefit from this. Thank you. Next question.
Your next question is from Oluwaseun Arambada. Please go ahead.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for the call. Quickly, I just want to ask, if you go to note 4, on your Q1 2020 financial statements, I saw something about interest on EOSB. Could you please clarify the meaning of EOSB? Also, your 2019 full year results, you said the company is now making inroads into new markets. So also, I just want to ask an understanding of which geographical regions are now gaining traction. Also, I would like an idea of your export volumes and to which countries exports are going to, aside in the Niger Republic. Are we seeing new exports to new countries? My last question would be, we understand that Nigeria is not yet self-sufficient in coal production, and we also know that coal is a key energy source for your cement plant. So I would just like to get a sense of what proportion of your coal is sourced domestically and what proportion is imported. Thank you.
Thank you very much. EOSB stands for End of Service Benefit. This is what is commonly referred to as the gratuity. You know, after the merger, you know, we have these two companies, the one from Sokoto, which has been in existence for over 50 years, So they have this system of the end of service benefit. That is a lump sum of money given to staff when they are leaving the service, either by retirement or resignation. But as you know, also the Pension Reform Act has mandated a statutory pension contribution scheme that which every staff is subscribed to. So for those staff that are still with us, they still have their money in a dedicated gratuity account, and this is earning interest. So that is where that thing came from. Regarding the new markets, our whole market is Nigeria, because now we have the capacity and we have the reach. Some few years back, we were constrained. So now we sell to Northwest, North Central, Northeast, South, 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 West, Southeast. We reach everywhere. We sell cement to all the regions. We have customers. Regarding export, it was only the Sokoto plant that was involved in export before the border was shut in August 2019, and the export had been to Niger Republic only, concentrating in Niamey, Agadez, Zindar, Badagishiri, Tillaberi. These are the places we have been sending cement to. But there are a lot of opportunities, especially when the free border system kicks off and Nigerian borders are reopened. Under the African Continental Free Trade Agreement, we have the reach to get up to Burkina Faso and from there also other places. Cement is a very bulky product, but our Sokoto plant is, which is just 90 kilometers from the Niger border, places us at a strategic advantage to be able to export cement to countries that are landlocked, that are within the center of West Africa. I will have to correct you a little bit where you said Nigeria is not self-sufficient in coal production. I believe Nigeria, especially regarding our industry, is self-sufficient. What we really talk about the mix is because of the quality of the coal. Ours is a very young coal. It has what we call a lot of volatile matter content, and this volatile matter sometimes could be more than 40%, sometimes up to 48%. In simple terms, what it means is that this is a product that is liable to spontaneous ignition. Spontaneous ignition means just keeping it in ordinary air, it can catch fire on its own without the application of a naked flame. So that makes it very risky and very dangerous to store and to use. You have to take a lot of extra precautions. So we and then it has also a lot of ash content that goes into the cement, thereby depressing the quality of the product. So we try to import some quantity of cement in which we are going to dilute the chemistry, the product characteristics of the Nigerian coal to such levels whereby it is safe to use and also does not have any adverse effect on the cement quality. So you go for imported coals that are low in volatility and low in ash content. Next question, please.
Thank you. Your next question is from Abdulrahim Bello. Please go ahead.
Okay. As a follow-up to my previous question, so I just want to please confirm that in terms of demand, so how would you describe the demand that comes from public sector and the demand that comes from private sector? And so there was one question that was unanswered previously, then the concentration risk. Is the company exposed to any concentration risk at the moment? Thank you.
Okay, I will ask Mr. Finn to just elaborate more on this demand nature, construction segment versus the private sector. Mr. Finn?
Okay, thank you. Yes, concerning, let us see, the public consumption, which is going through allocated infrastructure project mainly. That has always been a very high ratio compared to, let's say, the private segment. If you look into the traditional ratio in Nigeria, it has been around 50% public project, or let's say public consumption here, up to around the year 2010. Comparable to other countries, if you go to the neighboring countries, also to Ghana, you will see that the public projects consuming cement is around 20%. So the high ratio of public project has made the market a little bit volatile here, because if the government is not allocating funds or not allocating project, it will have immediately impact on the consumption. But what we have seen the last few years is that the private initiatives, the private segment, is taking more and more over. And that, so today, is very hard to be too precise, but something like 25 to 30% public and 65 to 70 private. And that means you will be made more insensitive towards changes in the environment, because the private sector, they are not on the short term demanding, you know, funds from any government in order to execute a project. So if the oil price drops, you will not see it. You will see it maybe later, because it's a kind of a general impact. But it's much more robust situation now in general, the total consumption, than earlier, when infrastructure and allocation to for a project was really driving the consumption much more than today. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Bulahan Olugoro. Please go ahead. Hello, Bulahan, your lines are muted. Please ask your question. Thank you. Thank you. Your next question is from Babatunde Ogunleye. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. This is a follow-up question on my previous question. So for the part I asked about the minority and the majority shareholding, I did not kind of get the response to the question. And for the second question, is on the outlook on volume growth. So we've seen like in 54% coming into from FY 2019 to 2018, and then coming to Q1 with 20% increase. With the impact of COVID-19 and then various economic uncertainty, like what are we expecting that particular amount to be sustainable like throughout the year? I think that's just it. Thank you.
Hello, Mr. Chike, are you there with us? Can you respond to Mr. Babatunde?
No, I didn't get the question.
He was asking about the minority shareholders as a follow-up to his former question.
Efforts have been made to ensure that we meet up with the minimal listing requirements. So in the next couple of months, we are already striving, and we are discussing with some investors. Most likely, before the end of the year, we'll be able to meet up with the minimum listing requirements so that the minority shareholders' percentage will increase.
Okay, thank you.
I hope that's where I'm going.
Yes, can we go to the next question, please?
Thank you. That concludes the question and answer session. I would now like to hand the call over to the management team for any closing remarks. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for spending a greater part of your day with us. We are very pleased to have had you on this Q&A from BUA Cement regarding our full year 2019 and first quarter 2020 operations. Thank you very much and have a very nice day.
Thank you. That concludes the BUA Cement investor presentation for the full year 2019 and Q1 2020. You may now hang up.